You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
All right, everybody, welcome in. This is Idella and Carolyn, and this is WTN Wellness Wednesday. I'm going to read us a little blurb right here, and then I'm going to recommend some stuff and hope that you join us. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Women Truckers Network Wednesday Wellness Show with our coach, Carolyn O'Byrne. She is our life coach, She is a life coach, colon hydrotherapist, and author of the great book, Gut Instinct, written with truckers in mind. Check out her website, www.lifecoachservice.net. All statements made during these calls are suggestions only and not meant to be medical advice. We would like to thank our sponsor that can be found on our website, www.realwomenintrucking.org. That being said, we would like to invite you to our next event, which will be in November 11th and 12th in Phoenix. And it's the Real Women in Trucking Campout at the NASCAR. It's a semifinal farewell. And we would really like to see you there. You can get VIP tickets by visiting our website, realwomenintrucking.org/Phoenix Raceway Campout. And the next thing is in May 20th through the 27th, we have the second annual Queen of the Road High Seas Lady Trucker Cruise. It'll be on the Carnival Queen. It'll be 7 days, and we will be leaving out on the 20th and coming back on the 27th, 7-day Western Caribbean cruise. We would love for you to join us. Again, you can go to our event page, type that in, and you can see all the particulars there. All that said, welcome, Miss Carolyn. Thank you for coming in. Would you like to state our subject tonight and give us a good talking to?
Sure. I'm good at talking. Today, we're going to talk about food addiction. I am going to be giving you some sweet relief from food addiction. We're going to learn how to eat. So I want you to picture in your mind, I want you to turn on your imaginations right now and picture a big, huge chalkboard that I'm going to be writing on. And I'm going to write 3 huge letters on this chalkboard. E-A-T. E is for educate. A is for apply. And T is to transform. So when you're driving down the road or walking into the store or the restaurant or the truck stop, I want you to think of E-A-T. Educate, apply, and transform. So let's talk about educate. We all have a story about how our health was and how it got the way it is. My story begins with ignorance. When I was about 20 years old, I was in terrible health. And it wasn't from lack of wanting to be healthy. I just flat out didn't know how to do it or what to do. I had absolutely no idea about how to eat right. I knew that certain foods were called junk food, but it didn't add up in my young mind. After making that decision that I made a decision that I just wasn't going to be this way all my life. But after I made that decision that I was not going to be this way and I wasn't going to be on the medication that I was on for the rest of my life, like the doctor told me I was going to, I decided that I was going to get better. But because I didn't know anyone who knew something about health, it was a very slow journey, 1 step forward, 2 steps back. Not only about my health situation, but the trials that came about with my children's health. And instead of steps, sometimes with my children, They were shoving me forward to the place that I am now. I discovered so many things about myself along the way. And one of the things that I discovered was I was addicted to sugar. I loved sugar. And the candida that was more than thriving inside of me loved it too. Not only did the sugar cause problems, the candida added many circumstances that were not welcome. So the struggle began. When I discovered the reality of the big picture of health, I knew that I had to share it with the world. If someone had just helped me back then, how much faster and easier would it have been for me to regain my health? Do you ever get a craving and feel like it's in your brain or something inside of you is calling out for food? I did. Idella, did you ever have that? Have you ever had that?
All the time. Still do. It doesn't change. I just think I gotta have it. I gotta have it.
You may have just eaten. You may know that you're not hungry, but there is just something that seems uncontrollable inside of you that will drive you absolutely crazy until you give in. Even though your conscious mind knows that you don't need that food, or that it's junk food, or that you just feel that something is much bigger than you going on inside, and it's going to win the battle. Junk food stimulates the reward system in our brain. We all have this reward system, and it stimulates it in the exact same way as alcohol or drugs. Many lab studies have even found that sugar, processed, and refined foods are more addictive than cocaine. And let me tell you why food is more difficult to kick the addiction than cocaine, smoking, alcohol, pornography, because it all works the same. It is exactly the same concept. But the reason food is harder is because nobody needs cocaine to survive. Nobody needs cigarettes to survive. Nobody needs alcohol to survive. But we need food to survive. So we have to eat. We just have to eat the right things. That's why it seems, and it is, more difficult, because we can go somewhere in our life that is completely away from cocaine, alcohol, drugs, smoking. We can get away from that. But we can't get away from food. We have to eat. We all have something in our brain, like I said earlier, that's like a reward system. When we do something that we think that we enjoy, our body produces feel-good chemicals, and one of them is called dopamine. Our brain is designed to seek out behaviors that release dopamine. Some of these behaviors may actually be beneficial to us, but some of them may be harmful, and some of them very harmful. For instance, if I see Idella in person, I'm going to give her the biggest, old, tight, squeezy, juicy, warm, fuzzy hug that I can, because I like her so much. I love her so much. And it just gives me these warm fuzzies, and that's a dopamine. And that's dopamine being released that gives me this good feeling. It gives me that, it goes into that, what did I call that thing in our brain a minute ago? I just lost my train of thought. That feel-good area, that reward area in our brain. And that's a good thing. But if I'm thinking that I need a hot dog or a donut or something, and I'm feeling the need for that, and I go after it, it gives me that reward feeling very temporarily, but it's not good for me. That's kind of an example there. If we perceive that something is good, our subconscious mind doesn't know if it is or not. Did I explain that well? Is that?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Okay.
It makes sense to me.
Okay,
I'm beginning
to
think I don't ever know what hungry is. I don't think I know what hungry is. I think I just do it because my mind tells me to. I don't think I've ever had a hunger pang.
That is exactly right. I'm so glad you brought that up because I didn't. I've talked about that before, but it wasn't in my mind today. But that is exactly the truth. Now, some people have actually truly been hungry, and I have fasted before. And because I have fasted for about a week before, I knew what hungry was. But, you know, this is on topic, but this is not what I'm going to talk about, but it's here right now, and I'm going to say it because I think it'll help. I have fasted for about 7 days before, and the first 3 days I felt like I was, my body was fine. My mind thought I was going to starve to death. I just kept thinking, I am so hungry. But past those 3 days, the last 4 days, wasn't hungry a bit. Hunger is actually a chemical reaction, a chemical that our stomach sends to our brain, a chemical and an electrical response that says, hey, we need some more nutrients. Well, if you eat healthy, your body has a huge storage of nutrients. Our liver is like one of the biggest nutrient storage facilities that we have. And if you're used to eating really well, eating lots of healthy foods and nutrients, I had gone a week, and once my brain got over that 3 days of reprogramming in my brain, truly my body wasn't hungry, even for a whole entire week. That was very eye-opening to me, and I've done a lot of study on fasting, and know this, again, this wasn't what I was going to talk about today, but I encourage anyone listening to do some research on fasting. Dr. Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, has a wonderful book on fasting and the importance of it. And it gives your body a break so that it can heal. It can kill off all the bad gut flora that you've got going on that are expanding upon the feeling of hunger, like candida. And there's others, but pretty much people have heard of candida mostly, and that one is one that's targeted most. But it gives your body such a break that things start healing that you thought could never heal. Your body gets a resting stage because the digestive process actually takes a lot of energy and a lot of chemical reactions going on. And if your body doesn't have to be concerned about that, it can do so many wonderful things for the rest of your body of healing. They've even got fasting clinics here and there, and I haven't ever been to one, but it's one of my goals. But that wasn't exactly what I was going to talk about, but I felt like it was an important thing that popped into my mind when Adele mentioned.
Why don't we leave it at that and get back to the subject, and we'll make that next month's subject.
Ah, okay. That sounds great.
Okay, nope.
So back to where we were, and thank you for that comment, Miss Idella.
Well, I didn't mean to lead you astray.
No, it's okay. I'm good at that. We were talking about the dopamine being a chemical that our body produces. Well, guess where that dopamine is produced? It's produced in our gut. Our gut produces about 90% of this neurotransmitter called dopamine, and about that much of serotonin and many other of those types of chemicals that are neurotransmitters. If our gut is not healthy, because of eating processed foods, refined foods, taking medications, and stress, our gut can't work properly. Therefore, guess what? It's not able to make adequate amounts of dopamine and many other of these similar substances, like I mentioned a minute ago. So let's think about this. If we eat bad food, it does harm to our whole body, but especially our gut. If our gut doesn't work properly and gives us a feel-good chemical that our brain wants and needs, we need more and more of that feel-good stimulation, like junk food, to trigger the reward system that makes us feel good, and the cycle begins again. So the more junk we eat that gives us that reward ping in our brain, the more it damages our gut and the rest of our health, but a lot of it damages our gut first. That's the first thing that it changes in a negative way. And if our gut is compromised, it can't produce this chemical. So this chemical is really low, and our brain's not getting what it's wanting. Therefore, our brain says, I need more. I need more of this. Give me more dopamine. Give me more dopamine. Therefore, in the past, the way we got that dopamine was to eat the junk food. It's a vicious cycle. And the more junk food we eat, the more it damages our gut even more. And our brain says it again, I'm not getting enough, give me more. And it's not that we're needing nutrition for our body in this case. It's that our brain is wanting more hits on that reward system area. So, let me give you some examples here. A example. Everyone knows that donuts are not good for us. And the reason I picked on donuts was because that was one of my biggest weaknesses. And it happens to be on the Facebook post that we put on there. That was a perfect picture. But if the hot sign is on at the donut shop, we just have to whip it in there and get a hot, yummy, melt-in-your-mouth donut. Or maybe we just walk by the donut section in the truck stop and you see those boxes with that see-through plastic on it and we see that slightly crunchy, flaky glaze and it just pulls us in. And even though we say to ourselves, that's really bad for me, I really don't need that, somehow it sits up on the counter and we pay for it anyway. The conscious part of our mind is the one that thinks logically. It's the one that says, hey, that's not good for you. Don't eat that. But our tape recorder, our subconscious mind that I like to call our tape recorder, that's the one that has no idea if it's right or wrong or good or bad. And our tape recorder says, hey, you told me that this is a good thing. It tastes good. It feels good, at least for a moment. And it gives me that reward system ping. And I'm going to do exactly what you have shown me to do in the past. I'm going to make you miserable until you do what I want you to do. Has anyone heard that going on in their body?
Mine talks to me all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. This is our junk food fix. And it's exactly the same process that your body would go through if you had any other type of addiction. We've all done this. This is where the addiction comes in. It's coming from two different areas. The reward system, wanting more, and our tape recorder telling us, and it's exactly like push and play on a tape recorder. A tape recorder has no idea. You can push record and you can say a whole slew of cuss words. Or you push play and do you expect it to sing a lullaby? No. What you've recorded is exactly what's going to come out when you push play. And that's exactly what our subconscious mind is. you can't logically expect to push play if you recorded a bunch of ugly words and expect to hear a baby lullaby. I mean, that's just, it sounds ridiculous. But when you, if you can think about that with your subconscious mind, the tape recorder of your mind, what you have put in there for years and years and years, my favorite foods are hot dogs, pizza, ice cream, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's what it, that's what you've put in there. That's what society has told you, and that's what you believed, and that's what you've done, and that's what's in your tape recorder. And it's going to do everything in its power to do and pull you in the direction when you push play of what's on that tape recorder. Now, it can be re-recorded, and that's the whole thing here, is re-recording the tape recorder and getting our logical mind stronger and getting our gut in good shape, and we're going to talk about that. So it comes from the reward system wanting more and our tape recorder telling us and pulling us in that direction. Cravings are only satisfying the brain's want for dopamine. Cravings are not an actual need for nourishment. Don't let these cravings break the rules that you have set for yourself. So if you know this information, this is where it comes into education, the E part of EAT for education. Knowing this is freeing. If we can know this and we feel that craving coming on, we can say, oh, I don't think so. I know your tricks now, and I'm not falling for your tricks ever again. So educate yourself on how all of this works. It's something that needs to be top priority. Eating right really is very simple. It really is a very simple concept. But everyone understands the same information in different ways. So even though I can put how to eat right in a very simple way, I may have to say it one way for this person to get it. I may have to say another way for this person to get it. Sure, we all want to feel that we look nice. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel good in our skin. But the ultimate goal of eating right is good health. Quality of life is the most important part of eating right. And you are worth quality of life. Ask anyone with health problems. Ask anyone that's getting older and things just don't work like they should. Yes, our bodies age and will not be exactly the same as they were when we were young, but they weren't designed to be diseased or malfunctioning. If disease and health problems happen, it is directly related to our lifestyle. And there is so much unnecessary suffering because of this. That is why I am so passionate about educating people and supporting them in a forward direction. According to the New York Times, less than 5% of people who lose weight actually keep it off. I want you, you meaning anyone listening today and anyone who will ever listen again to this recording, I want you to be in that 5%, and I want to help to change those statistics. It should not be less than 5%. It should be 100% of everyone who loses weight keeps it off. Because if you're doing it the right way and you're changing your mindset and you're changing the tape recorder and you're healing your gut and you're educating yourself on why this is all happening, it's not going to ever happen again, because you're going to know and you're going to get it and you're going to feel so good that that bowl of ice cream is not going to be worth that one little moment of satisfaction that lasts 10 or 15 minutes. It's not going to be worth this awesome feeling that you feel, the healthy feeling. I can remember when I was 20 years old, everything ached. I felt terrible. I was overweight. I was had sinus junk all the time. I was just blah. I just felt blah. My joints ached, my knees ached. When I was in my 30s, I had heel spurs. When I figured out the real way, the only way to eat right and to do right and to heal your gut, everything went away. In the morning when I jump out of bed, I do not feel like every joint I have needs some WD-40. I used to. In the morning when I would jump out of bed, I felt like there were tacks on my floor. Because when I hit the floor with my feet, the heel spurs felt like I was stepping on tacks. No surgery, no medication, nothing. All of that's gone. Because our body is designed to work exactly right if we give it what it needs. Okay, so we've been on E for quite a while. And for those of you that just came in, I've heard some people that joined possibly. I'll go back to the beginning. We're talking about food addiction. And I have talked about how to EAT, how to eat. E is for educate, A is for apply, and T is for transform. And we just got through talking about educating. A is for apply. So how can we apply this? One person may hear it one way and apply it immediately, while others may hear it 1,000 times and still not put it to use. This takes effort, commitment, and conviction. Use the energy that you're putting towards your thinking about the junk food and that craving and that I think I need it, but I know I don't, and direct it toward finding useful tips, scientific facts. Kind of like 5%, less than 5% of people keep their weight off, and make you mad. I am not going to be that statistic. Find other statistics. Find whatever facts are interesting to you that stick in your mind and help you with your conviction. Get a coach, because coaches, that's what I do. Coaches can help you through the tough times. They can be your cheerleader. Look at every successful person in sports and business and Hollywood. Every single one of them that are successful had at least one coach helping them to get over their shortcomings or their concerns or their battles, whether they were physical battles, spiritual battles, or emotional battles. Exercise your conscious mind to one that thinks logically. What you don't exercise loses strength. What you do exercise gains strength. So many times that tape recorder in our mind is so muscle man, Hulk Hogan looking muscular, because it rules us. And we don't let our conscious mind, the part that's thinking logically, we don't ever let it in. We just let that big muscular tape recorder just roll with it, because, hey, it's easier that way. I go in, I get what I always get. At this place, this is what I get. At this place, this is what I get. No, it's not good for me, but I've always done it that way. You've got to give muscle to your conscious mind, the one that thinks logically. And the more muscle you build it up, you give it, the less muscle that your tape recorder has, and you can prevail and conquer the old ways and start re-recording the new ways that you want to have in there. So I'm going to say that again. What you don't exercise loses strength. What you do exercise gains strength. Also, as this part gains strength, you'll be reprogramming that tape recorder to have the information that you want it to have, not the old thinking that you need that junk. Access this information in ways that you will understand. the way that you get it and that you can put it to use. Find out what tricks work for you, what gives you the most aha moments. Everyone is different. Focus on what works for you.
Are you searching for a job with excellent pay and benefits? How about freedom, changing scenery, and a stable, award-winning company? I've got the answer. Holland. My name's Mel Clark, and I've been a driver with Holland for almost 12 years. Trucking isn't just a man's job anymore. Holland is challenging the stereotypes for women drivers. Women can drive these trucks just as well as the men and get paid the same as the men and succeed the same as the men. When I come home at the end of the day, I am proud of the job I've done and what I've accomplished. I've put in the hard work and I've earned respect. I'm a Holland driver, and I want to encourage you to join our team. If driving for a company that pays 100% of your health insurance, offers great pay, overtime, and union benefits is of interest to you, apply at hollandregional.com/careers.
What's a woman to do when she is discharged from the Army, loves a challenge, and wants career security? That's what Redaway truck driver Misty Warner asked herself when she was 21 years old. The answer, trucking. Redaway is hiring women who take charge and want the freedom, pay, benefits, and the security of driving a truck. Get more information about a truck driving career at redaway.com on our careers page, or talk to an expert on our hotline, 866-582-1320. Misty and a growing number of women like her are getting behind the wheel of a career that's always in demand.
You're tuned in to the Women Truckers Network, the first trucking radio program hosted by real women truckers. The Real Women in Trucking is a 501c6 driver organization whose mission it is to deliver highway safety through leadership, mentorship, education, and advocacy. You can learn more about becoming a member at www.realwomenintrucking.org.
Now here's something, if you're a driver that drives alone, this is going to be much easier than if you're a driver that has another driver in the vehicle with you. Get rid of everything that tempts you. I know Adela might have a little hard time with this, but if you are...
I might get my hand slapped.
Yeah. If you're a solo driver, this you can do. Now, Adela, you'll just have to figure out something, and I'll be happy to help you if you want me to. But get rid of everything that tempts you. Make a plan and have only healthy foods available. And that's what I do. I'll just tell you right now. I don't eat out very often at all. And when I do, I'm very picky. But that's really not hard on me. But at night and the evening time, when things start settling down, during the day I don't have a problem. But at night time, if there was any junk in my house, I would go get it. Even though I know that if it was in my house, I would eat it. If it was something that I was hankering, there could be something that's junky that doesn't tempt me. But if there were some potato chips, or I don't eat chocolate at night because I have this problem with caffeine and I wouldn't sleep a wink all night. And even though I love it, I have been so miserable at night when I eat chocolate. So it wouldn't be chocolate. Ice cream. If there were some ice cream in my house, which I do not allow, by the way, to be in my house, I would eat it. Come nighttime, sun goes down, things start settling down, I'd be in there eating the ice cream. So we know ourselves. Some of you may have that in the morning. Some of you may have it all day. You know yourself and you know your patterns. So make a plan so that when that time comes, you're not going to have an option. You're not going to have any option but to do what your conscious mind is saying that you need to do. So speaking of this, I'm working on it. It's in the process. It'll be a little while. But I'm working on making a lot of short videos that's going to give you some good ideas of foods that are fast, easy, require little or no refrigeration, and are healthy to eat. I'm going to go to the stores, and I'm just going to go through the whole entire store making little videos on, here's a good option, here's what it is. If you've never heard of it before, let me tell you about it. And I'm just going to have tons of these little short, maybe 3 to 5 minute videos, and surely in all those videos that something will be something that you might like as an alternative to something that's not healthy that you're doing right now. So hold me to that, Idella.
I will.
So keep checking my Facebook page. My Facebook is Carolyn O'Byrne or Life Coach Service, and my website is lifecoachservice.net. Keep checking those. As soon as I get them ready on one of these calls that we're doing right now, I'll be happy to let you know through that way also. Okay, now we're to the T part of transformation. Transformation is a change from what it is now to another form. We not only want to transform our thinking, we want to transform our health, our body, our outlook, and our opinion of ourselves. That last one is a biggie. A lot of us don't have a very good opinion of ourselves. And it doesn't really need to go in the opposite direction too far. It doesn't need to go way too far having too big of an opinion of ourselves, because then nobody wants to be around you. But we need to have a good, healthy opinion of ourselves. But we need to transform all these things. I'm going to say these things again. We want to transform our thinking. We want to transform our health, our body, our outlook, and our opinion of ourselves. Okay, so here's the big announcement. Relying only on your willpower will not get you off of junk food. Does anybody have an amen on that?
Amen.
It is not only just willpower. It's not just willpower. So don't beat yourself up about it. It is not just willpower that helps you go into the direction that you want to go. Understanding how all this works, exercising your conscious mind, healing your gut, and we've talked about that on many of these calls, and that is so very important, and making good choices as much as possible will make this transformation process easier and easier and easier until this way of life is your normal. And your subconscious mind will keep pulling you in the right direction over and over, just as it's doing in the wrong direction right now. Creating a bad habit is the exact same as creating a good habit. Creating a good habit is the exact same as creating a bad habit. They take the same exact efforts to create a good habit as it is a bad habit. So if you consciously make an effort to create good habits over and over and over, regardless if your habits are good or bad, they're easy to do, right? So the road I live on, very, very rarely do I turn right out of my driveway. I always turn left. So anytime I turn right, half the time I turn left and have to back up and turn right because I'm so used to turning left. It is so easy to turn left because I always do it that way. It's easy. So if you change these ways to the new habits, and you have to put forth some effort, but if you change these ways to the new habits, eating that new way is just as easy as eating that old way is. It's going to be just as easy. And if you know that you have that to look forward to and it's not always going to be a battle, That's going to give you more ambition and more want to and gump to do that hard stuff right now and push through to make it to where it's easy. Because it is not hard for me at all. That on the few occasions that I do go out to eat, to choose the right things, and there's not actually anything right out to eat, really, unless you go to some kind of organic restaurant. And by the way, I have found one, and it's so good, and I'm so excited. But it's really easy to make these good choices once that's been your way of life. People ask me all the time, how do you do that? It's like, I don't know. It's just what I do. It's easy. How do you, it's easy for you to choose McDonald's hamburger and french fries. It disgusts me to choose McDonald's hamburger and french fries because to me, I think, how do you do that? So it's just, I'm not explaining that to think, to sound here or there. I'm explaining it to show you that whatever your habit is, it's easy to go in that direction. It's your normal. Your normal and your subconscious mind will keep pulling you in that right direction over and over. Be very picky on what you create as a habit. It's just as easy to make it that good habit as it is to make a bad one. So earlier I mentioned conviction. Here is a great thought to keep in mind every day. Sometimes you may even need to keep this in mind every minute. And I'm going to repeat this a couple of times because I really want you to get the concept. Conviction and comfort are not friends at first. Conviction and comfort are not friends at first. So if you have conviction about something that you want to change, and it's not going to be comfortable until you make it part of your habit, then it will feel comfortable, and it'll feel part of who you are. And here's my ice cream example again. Every single night, did I already say my ice cream example? I'm going to say it again just in case I didn't. Every single night, we had ice cream. Every single night when I was growing up. Sometimes we even had it for breakfast. But years ago, when I discovered that ice cream wasn't healthy, I stopped. I stopped eating it, even though it was majorly in my tape recorder. And it took a long time to get out of the habit of thinking that I needed to have ice cream every night. But now that thought never enters my mind. It's not even an option to me that I even think about eating ice cream. Maybe about 5 or 6 times a year, I'll get that new kind of ice cream that's made out of almond or cashew milk. It's really good, by the way. And mostly because the family's doing it. The family's going to do something together. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even do it then. And I thought of an idea. And I've thought of this several times randomly throughout the years. Somewhere in some country far away that we don't know their culture and eating styles, they have this dish, and I'm sure they have several dishes that we've never heard of, that to them is the most delicious thing they have ever eaten in their life. And that's what they crave, and that's what tempts them. But we don't even, it's not in our tape recorder. We don't even know about it, so we don't crave it. And so if we happen to meet these people and say, hey, what's going on? What's your favorite food? And they tell us their favorite food, even though we know about it right then, we're not craving it because we don't even know about it. It's not tempting us. So that's an example. It's not in our tape recorder. It's not tempting us, yet it's tempting them. So it's a perception of what we think that these foods are pulling us toward. We think we need to have it because they think they need to have that food, and we don't think we need to have that food because we've never even heard of it before. I hope that just made sense. I understand it in my mind. I hope I relate it to you in an understanding way. So now that we've had this wonderful time together talking about addiction of food, does anybody have any concerns or ideas, suggestions, any comments?
No, you've explained it quite well. Is there anybody else on here? Are you still here with us? Speak up.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
No, I think she did an excellent job. I just had it on mute, so you didn't hear everything else I was doing, giving my allergy shot and stuff like that. But no, she explained everything really well. I just, glad that, she's trying to help us, fill in the gaps, because I just found out that I'm allergic to gluten, and that's very hard to just work it out of my system. So I told her, I'm like, yeah, about 80-20. She's like, we need you to be at 100, and I thought, I'm working there. Any suggestions to help me make it an easier transition?
Yes, pretty much. I hate to say what I just said. I hope you heard most of it, but yes. What I have found in people that have a gluten sensitivity, and I actually think that most of us do nowadays, we just don't realize it. What I have found, and let me stop there again and give you one more disclaimer. I'm a colon hydrotherapist, so the gut and the digestive system is one of my tip-top favorite things to talk about. But what I have found in working with people with gluten sensitivities, gluten allergies, whatever you want to call it, they're very close, but getting rid of gluten helps a lot. But getting rid of grain heals. So a lot of people that get off gluten, oh, I feel so much better. And yes, absolutely, hands down, they feel so much better. But if they get off grain, completely get off grain, and I'm not saying forever, but if they get off grain, that's when the healing process begins. And so if you can heal your gut, you're not going to have that gluten intolerance anymore. And sure, we need to be very, very, very picky on what grain. They need to be organic, and they need to be grown right and not sprayed and not processed and all that. But once we heal our gut, we can introduce grain again. So when you're feeling kind of bummed about getting rid of it, it is very hard, because we feel like we've got to have a biscuit for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, and a roll for supper, or pasta, or breading, or whatever, and that's just how it's always been. And that's the way we were at my house. We did the same exact thing. We would have pancakes for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, and something breaded or something for supper.
Fried chicken for supper.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to make skillet fried chicken, and oh, was it good. But
during the times that I'm doing good, it's like I do feel better. So it's like, and then it's like, and then it's funny, too, because it goes hand in hand with the sugar, because if you're doing better with the gluten, it's like I'm not acquiring the taste of the sugar.
That's right. Well,
so
gluten, it does. And the reason why it's easier on the sugar when you're getting rid of the gluten is because gluten comes in grain. Grain is a starch. Starch is a sugar. So if you're cutting out the load, everybody's different. Some people may eat more sugar and less starch, or more starch and less sugar, or some people may eat half and half sugar and starch. But many times we're eating so much bread and we don't even realize that it's a starch, which is a sugar. And so if you're cutting that starch load in half, then you're cutting your sugar load in half, which if you get off grain completely, that'll even cut the starch load more in half, because gluten-free grain or gluten-free breads are still starch. And so that will be cutting out a lot. You're going to start losing some weight if you need to lose weight. If you don't need to lose weight, then you're just going to get that much feeling better. You won't lose too much weight. If you don't need it, you won't lose it.
Oh, no,
if you need it, it'll start coming off. But anyways, if you think about cutting your sugar load in half, that's going to help you in not feeling like you need as much of the other sugar. So that's a good thing, but also work on the sugar because it's so addictive. But I guess I didn't answer your question a while ago very well of how do I deal with getting that 20% of gluten out. Be convicted. Yeah. Just say, okay, I know that I don't want to get in a bad shape, and I know that if I eat this, it's going to cause a problem, whether I feel it immediately or not. And I'll tell you what gluten intolerance leads to. It leads to autoimmune issues because that's where it all starts, is in our gut. And let me tell you, autoimmune issues are really rough. They come in different forms and fashions, and they're very difficult to deal with. And it starts with the gut. It starts with gut issues. That is the only hub of autoimmune issues. The hub of them is the gut, and it's usually from leaky gut. So you really want to get this taken care of as quickly as you can to prevent any other issues popping up. And to get,
because I find myself that, like, I do good. It's like, oh, it's just a bite or two, and then it's like, boom. Then the next day I gotta have some more, you know.
Yep, that's right. And yep. It's just like, I don't know how long you've been on. I hope most of the time, but it's like smoking or alcohol. If you were dealing with an alcoholic and they're off of alcohol, would you say, hey, you want just one bite? Just one little bite. I just want one little bite. Would you give them one little drink?
No.
Well, that would just, yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did. I'm like, oh, I already had a little yesterday. It's like a little more. It's not going to hurt. It's like, ah, there you go. Then I had a whole bunch.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So that's what I was talking about. Figure out yourself. Be a private investigator of how you work, of how your mind works. And when you know your own patterns and your own weaknesses and your own times of day or whatever, you kind of get that get your own knowing of how you work, and then make a plan. Okay, I know, just like me, I know when the sun goes down and the evening starts settling in, I'm going to want to go in that kitchen and find me some little something to nibble on. Well, if I'm nibbling on some little something like a apple or a little handful of almonds or something, well, that's okay. Maybe I probably shouldn't even eat anything that in the evening after supper, but that's what I'm working on. But
I was told, because I'm through the hormone stage and menopause and all that, so I can't sleep a lot of times. So she says, eat something high in protein and fat, which would be a nut, would be the best, you know, small quantity, because then you'll rest better, because then your body has something to do instead of keeping you awake. And that does work. So, small quantity, though, not like, you know,
okay,
a whole cup of nuts, you know, just a little handful of nuts.
Do you like walnuts?
Yeah, I can eat them. I like them raw. I don't like them mixed in, so I can just eat walnuts, yeah.
Yeah, walnuts actually have some properties that help with sleep. I'm not saying if you eat walnuts in the morning, you're going to fall asleep while you're driving. But if you eat them at night, they really actually do have some sleeping qualities to them.
How do you eat a small amount of nuts now?
Well, you're
going
to have to pre-portion it, I guess, because, you know, you just, oh, I can only have five.
And lock the rest up, yeah.
Yeah, just predetermine how many you're going to go in and get. I'm going to get ready for bed. I'm only going to get, like, five. I'm only going to get 10, and pre-count that out before you get there.
Get you some Ziploc bags, and be very nut picky, because the nuts that you buy in the can, look at the ingredients. They're absolutely horrible. They've got cottonseed oil. Huh?
I go to the bulk places and eat nuts.
Yeah, go to the, if you don't have a bulk store around at the grocery store, go down the cake batter aisle, the baking aisle, and they will have the raw nuts. Don't go down the potato chip aisle, because they've got the canned nuts that have got all these junky ingredients in it. It's kind of defeating the purpose.
Right.
So go, and if you have a Sam's or a Costco, like a big club store, they've got the, that's how I buy it. They've got the great big old bags of the raw nuts, and that is so much cheaper. And just baggy it out. Get Ziploc bags, baggy it out. I can only have one Ziploc bag. That's all I'm allowed to do. The rest are for a different day. If I eat them now, I'm not going to have them that day, and I'm going to wish I did. Whatever is your little trick that you have to talk to yourself about. And that's how, Adela, that's how you only eat that many nuts.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I got you. Well, I don't have any problem not buying. You know, I can go through the store or go into the truck stop and come back out and not purchase anything I'm not supposed to have. I look at it, I say, I can't have any of this, and I'll walk out. But, and that's fine. And at home, it's the same problem. But, Dear John, I guess I need to write a Dear John letter, huh?
Yes.
Hey,
Dear
John. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just going to say, if you have something on your mind, then like you said, you know, your brain says, oh, well, that's your excuse. You know, go ahead.
Well, yeah. He goes in and buys four of them double candy bars the other night. Two double Baby Ruths and a Butterfinger and yada, yada, yada. And if I hadn't just had some tooth work done and been suffering, I probably would have ate most of them. But I was hurting, so I didn't. But I tried.
That's a win-win.
Well, how about this? How about you find some treats that Adela thoroughly enjoys that are actually healthy, and anytime he gets a treat and you feel like you need one, or maybe he's not getting a treat, but you just feel like you need one, you have this pre-proportion size treat, and you can give yourself a treat. But it's healthy.
But
would that work?
What do you think of those Kind bars?
They're loaded with sugar. Their ingredients are better than a candy bar ingredient, but if you look at the back of it and compare it to a sugar in a candy bar and the sugar in it, they are still loaded with sugar.
Mm. Hang on a second.
I did go in Love's the other day on purpose to see if I could find anything that was okay to eat. And the reason for doing that is I'm trying to get in my mind where to go to make these little videos I was talking about. And there were about five or six things that I found in Love's that would actually be okay. I found some pistachios. That would be okay. I about fell out in the floor when I found this. They're called Epic Bars, EPIC. Have you ever heard of Epic Bars?
No.
They look like a candy bar, but they are meat. And it tastes kind of like jerky. And it's 100% organic and all natural, no added sugar. Now, they put maybe cranberries or currants or raisins or something like that in it to give it that little sweet taste that jerky has. And it doesn't look like a big, long, skinny jerky. It literally looks like a little candy bar. And I have bought those at the health food store before for when we go on trips. I don't buy it on a regular situation because there's no need for it if you're at home, because my husband is the one that's on the road, not me. And so I've gotten them for him before, but we only get them for us when we go on the road because that's a really nice, easy snack. There are two at the Love's near me. There were $2.99, and that's not something you need to eat several times a day. But that would be a really nice treat when you've got that savory feeling that you're wanting, like something savory. It wouldn't fix your sweet tooth necessarily, but it would fix your savory craving. But I'm trying to go through my mind, what else did I find? I know there are four or five things. Of course, they've got the apples and bananas, and they've got the cups of fruit and water. pretty much there was nothing to drink in there that was good. Fruit juices are still really, really high in sugar. And I'm not anti-fruit at all, but when it's processed like that, it's usually from concentrate, so they concentrate the fruit sugars, and it is all natural sugar, but it's still sugar. So just eat an apple instead of getting apple juice. Get water in an apple instead of apple juice. But because the apple's got the fiber and all the nutrients and all that you need in there. I can't think of what else was in Love's. I'm trying to wreck my brain this minute. And I'm not coming up with the rest. But my plan is to have these little snippets of videos. And that will, I'll try to stop at different truck stops when I go by and go through and see what it is and make a little video of it if they'll let me. I haven't asked yet. I'm hoping they'll let me do that. But anyhow, there are options out there. But the ticket is make a plan. Yeah. Eat. Educate. Apply it. Make a plan so that you can transform yourself, because transformation is what we want. We want to be transformed. We want to look the way we think we need to look. We want to feel the way we want to feel. We want to be healthy the way we were intended to be healthy and be that vibrant person that we want to be. So sorry to hear about your gluten intolerance, although it probably is a blessing. Because finding out about that early prevents long-term, pretty significant issues. So I'm sorry that you found out that, but I'm kind of glad that you found out that, and if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm wanting the best for you.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, it's like I'm trying to, you know, get better, you know, because it's like once when the hormones kicked in and just all kinds of stuff, it's like all of a sudden it's like everything just stopped. And
yeah.
Like, and then I just started packing on weight because I was down to like a size 6, and now I'm back up to a 12 or 14. So,
yeah.
I started eating those too. I don't like them, but I eat them. I'm getting to where I like them.
Well, let me tell you.
Because they're good for you.
I'll tell you a way. I like sweet potatoes any way I've ever had them, but let me tell you this way that I accidentally figured out that makes them taste like candy, and you don't add anything. There's one ingredient, and it's called sweet potato. Cook them for as long as you would normally cook them until you think that they're soft and done. Then don't even open your cooker, whatever it is. You can cook them in a crock pot. You can cook them in a toaster oven. You can cook them in a lunchbox oven. However way you cook them, if you normally cook them for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, if that's the normal, then once that normal time is up, turn it off. Do not open it. Just turn it off and leave it closed and let it sit until it's almost room temperature or room temperature, or even let it cool all the way off. And there's something in that long sitting time that caramelizes or something that sweet potato, and it makes it so good. And I accidentally found that out one time when I cooked the sweet potatoes ahead of time, forgot about them, left them in the oven, and then later figured out, wow, this is the best sweet potato I ever had, and I had to rack my brain on what was different. So every time I make them, that's the way I make them now. I don't even want to make them the other way anymore. So try that.
Try that.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Now that y'all have received some sweet relief from food addiction and gained some awareness of how to eat, I thank you for being on here, and it's time for it to be over because it's been about an hour or so, and I look forward to our next talk next month. Thank you, Idella, for being the hostess.
Well, I truly appreciate it, Carolyn. It was excellent. I appreciate everybody coming in. Next month, I believe we're going to talk about fasting.
Carolyn? That sounds good to me.
And how to do it, and I find that interesting because, like I said, I don't know that I'm ever hungry. I just eat because I'm supposed to.
and it looks good. So I appreciate everybody coming in. I want to thank you. Thank you, Miss Carolyn. And I'm going to shut the recording off. And I've got
thank
to go because I got one more delivery to make.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.